Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest, Councilwoman Julie Menin. Julie, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's great to be back on the show.
And before I go into the show, let me just tell people you are an attorney, a civic leader, new city council member, city's census director, New York City finishing as number one, surpassing all expectations in the census, for the commissioner of consumer affairs, Mayor Bloomberg, now Mayor de Blasio administration, reimbursement by 70% paid sick leave law, commissioner of media entertainment, first ever woman film fund to increase gender equity. And you also brought the Grammy Awards back to New York City.
Yes.
Served as the commissioner of the chair of the Manhattan Community Board, number one, resurgence after 9/11. Many honors recognized, Power 100 and top 25 women in public service. So we want to welcome you back in your new capacity as city council member.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be with you.
Introduce a free broadband initiative for NYCHA, specifically Homes Isaac Houses. Tell us about that.
So I'm very excited about this initiative. When I served as a city's census director, I saw firsthand the digital divide and the problems that it creates. The fact that one third of New Yorkers lack access to broadband, and it's particularly endemic for our NYCHA residents. So Homes and Isaacs are two NYCHA developments in my district, in Council District 5. And I've been working for the past few months on this initiative. Basically, I brought in a not-for-profit called Education Superhighway that's based in San Francisco. They've done some really terrific work on making sure that there is broadband in public schools across the country. And so I brought them in to help just in terms of thinking about how we would do this. We went to Verizon and Spectrum and negotiated a very high quality, high speed plan, but that one that was at a very affordable price. And then we paired that with a federal benefit of $30 a month that the FCC offers. And so that basically pairing these two together brings the cost to zero for NYCHA residents. In addition, we pre-qualified, pre-certified all the residents of Homes and Isaac. So it's super easy to sign up for this free broadband.
So tell us, you had your rollout. Give us the date of the rollout.
Sure. So I rolled it out this past Wednesday at Homes Isaacs, and we had a phenomenal event with hundreds of residents who we were able to sign up for the free broadband plans. Now, this program is absolutely scalable. We could do this all across New York City, which is really very, very exciting. And it costs no city dollars. So this is absolutely scalable. And the next step is I'm working very closely with CWA. And we want to be able to, we've had a request to do trainings for other electeds. So we're going to work on that because we want to basically make sure that any elected official who's interested in this will be able to utilize this program, because it's what we basically sort of set it up, the template, and now it can be utilized in other districts.
How's this roll out? I live in NYCHA. How would I try to access the service?
So if you're living in Homes or Isaacs, you will absolutely know about it. We have been flooding the buildings with materials on it. There's a center called the Isaac Center, which is a community center that provides services to both Homes and Isaacs. They are having events every day about this. So if you're in Homes or Isaac, you would definitely know about it. Now, in NYCHA developments outside of Council District 5, I am now going to be working with CWA on some briefings for my colleagues so that if they want to roll this plan out in the NYCHAs in their particular districts, they will have all the tools needed to do so. So we're going to be working on these briefings through the month of May, and I really hope that people will be able to roll it out in their districts.
So NYCHA members, NYCHA residents, contact your council person, and Julie will walk them through on how your development access this broadbanding service.
Absolutely.
It's very good. So I hope that you help create a new community garden at NYCHA's Green Space. Tell us about that initiative.
Well, I'm really interested in trying to figure out how we can create more open space in our council district. Our council district, Greg, ranks 47th out of 51 in terms of the lowest amount of open space. So we're literally almost at the bottom of the list. And interestingly, our council district is one of the densest. So we're one of the densest, and yet we have one of the lowest amounts of open space. So that's a problem. So I really wanted to see where we could create new community gardens. So I asked the Parks Department for a list of every conceivable open space in Council District 5. And then I really zeroed in on Lexington Houses so that we could bring more open space and a community garden to Lexington Houses. Basically, what we did is we were able to expand this space that they had and improve upon it so that we were able to create a very large, expansive community garden. We worked with the tenant leaders at Lexington Houses. We worked with some of the community gardeners. And we're also opening up that space to the public so that we can partner with local schools, bring in children to teach them about sustainability and community gardening so that we really make it a community project. So I'm very excited about it. We opened it 2 weeks ago. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. And I look forward to welcoming in not only the NYCHA residents at Lexington Houses, but also local school children from all around the district.
Now, a thought came to mind. You're not involved in this. You don't have anything to do with it, to say. So I want to tell people listening, this is not Julie Manning. This is prior administrations, and this might be future administration. There's this program that called the Infill program. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
And that is to what you want to create. You want to create more green space in NYCHA and in your council district. Infill takes away playgrounds, parks, green space, and they develop on these properties in NYCHA and they build buildings. They sell it off to private developers, and private developers puts up these big apartment buildings and luxury housing structures right there in NYCHA. So here you are saying you want more green space. That program is in direct opposition to what you want to do. And I know that's coming up. So tell me, how do you how do you turn around taking away space from NYCHA and turning that space into green space?
It's a great question. I mean, look, we have an issue that we have to address, which is we need to create more open green space at NYCHA developments across the city of New York. It's to say that we're going to take playgrounds or that we're not going to have any open green space is just not acceptable. So I'm really proud of the work that we've done at Lexington Houses, this community garden. I hope you'll come visit, Greg, sometime. It's just magnificent.
I will.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, we're growing carrots and tomatoes and all of this kind of produce that people can utilize. It also teaches about sustainability. It's really important environmentally to create more of these open spaces. In the East Harlem part of my district, we have one of the highest childhood asthma rates in the city. So by creating these community gardens and open spaces and more trees, it is good for our children, it's good for the environment, it's good for health, and it's just the right thing to do. So I'm really proud of what we were able to do at Lexington Houses. I think it can be used as a model for other NYCHA developments across New York City.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Greg Fulloy. Princeton's with us, and a very special guest, Councilwoman Julie Manning. And as council's small business community, what are some of your top priorities to help small business owners?
Well, this is an enormous issue that we face with our small businesses. I'm honored to chair the small business committee in the council. I'm a former small business owner myself, so I know these issues well. It is incredibly difficult to own and operate a small business in the city of New York or to open up a new small business. And if we look at the statistics, there are over 230,000 small businesses in the city, and it's estimated that close to a third are going to close because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we have a lot of work we need to do. One of the things I'm working on, I introduced a bill last month, and there'll hopefully be a hearing on this very soon, to create a one-stop shop portal for all city licensing and permitting. Because if you're a small business owner and you need to get licenses or permits, you're literally dealing with an alphabet soup of agencies. You're going from agency to agency to agency. Oftentimes you have to take days off work. This is ridiculous. We shouldn't be doing any of that. So what my bill does is it creates a one-stop shop portal, a web-based portal and an app that consolidates all city agencies, licenses, and permits. So I'm really excited about this. I think it makes it much easier for these small businesses to operate. Previously, when I was commissioner of the Department of Consumer Affairs, we launched the Small Business Relief Package, which introduced 25 reforms to lower fines on small businesses and allow businesses 30 days to cure a violation before going to a fine. I'm really interested in making sure that we codify that legislatively, that we make sure that for all the agencies that we truly are helping these small businesses to the truest extent possible. So there's going to be a lot of legislation that we're going to be introducing into the committee. I'm very excited about it. Later this afternoon, I'm joining the mayor in Brooklyn for Small Business Week, where we're announcing a new advertising and marketing campaign. I push very, very hard for that to urge the city to do more buy local, shop local advertising and marketing, because for so many small businesses, they lack customers. And rather than people go onto Amazon to order things, why not walk out the front door, go to your local small business and shop there, buy there, instead of getting things, you know, on Amazon? We need to be supporting our brick and mortar small businesses.
Well, speaking, and I think this would be appropriate, Portland was closed from about 2nd and 9th Avenue, and it's closed during the day for traffic and renovation of the L train. However, the L train continued to run during those renovations. Buses, which I see run every 5 and down 14th Street, back and forth, east to west, really empty. 14th Street has become a ghost town, and a lot of small businesses have been forced to close because of the there's no customers coming through. And the traffic on the streets, either 13th Street or 15th Street, the inner blocks, is being congested. So things there.
Yeah.
You have traffic there. One has thought to reopen 14th Street. This is a major hub in New York City, and It is ridiculous that you cannot drive down 14th Street on either side, east to west, and it's a main thoroughfare. Yeah.
This is a real problem, and it's not just about 14th Street. Honestly, like all around the city of New York, you'll see that certain streets might be closed. Sometimes they're closed for water main. This is a big issue. Because I get a lot of complaints from other areas around the city. You know, if the city's doing water main work or they're doing some other work and then suddenly the street is closed, well, what happens to those small businesses? What are they supposed to do? They can be losing months, sometimes years of revenue. That's not okay. So I really believe that when the city is doing that kind of work, they need to then step up and help to create marketing and promotional targeted programs. Right. A lot of times people forget, but there's an organization. I used to be on the executive board, NYC and Company. It reports to the city of New York. You know, it reports to the mayor. And so that organization is a marketing and tourism arm for the city of New York. So they can come in and try to help those small businesses when the city is doing that type of work. That really needs to happen.
Yeah. And 14th Street can now be open if the transportation commissioner, Mr. Rodriguez, is listening. You can open 14th Street. It's safe to open.
Right.
The residents, the businesses would love 14th Street.
Yes. Open. Absolutely. Without a doubt, we need to make sure that all of these different streets that are where the small businesses are suffering, we've got to really prioritize them.
So what would you like to accomplish?
Well, I'm focused on a number of different things. First of all, we talked a bit about small businesses, but this is an enormous issue. There's also labor staffing shortages for small businesses. So we need to address that piece. There is a retail vacancy crisis. We need to address that. If you walk in any neighborhood across the city, you will see so many vacant storefronts. So we're working on a number of different legislative fixes on that front as well. But we have other issues outside, obviously, of small businesses. We have an affordable housing crisis. So yesterday, I was at a press conference for the mayor urging Albany to pass legislation that would allow the conversion of vacant and dilapidated hotels to affordable housing. We have so many New Yorkers who are experiencing homelessness, and we need to come up with supportive housing for them. And so this would be one tool in the toolkit to be able to accomplish the building of more truly affordable housing. So that's another priority as well. But there are so many challenges we have. This is really one of the most challenging times the city has faced. I mean, you and I have known each other a very, very long time. We had challenges after 9/11, yes. Certainly. But once again, the city's in crisis. And so I am honored to serve on the city council at this very critical juncture, because I think it's going to take a lot of creative ideas to help figure out how we move the city forward during these very challenging times.
Now, there's some listeners listening, and they are, I care about small business. If I don't.
Look, that's an important question. I would argue that small businesses are truly the backbone of the city. We have 230,000 small businesses, many of which are immigrant-owned. Many are women and minority-owned businesses, which we really want to support. And I'll talk about that in a minute, because I have a lot of work I'm doing on MWBEs. But why support small businesses when you walk at whatever neighborhood someone lives in, when you walk down the street and you see that local coffee shop, that deli, that bodega? Those are small businesses, and they deserve our support. And so, you know, I can't urge New Yorkers strongly enough to please buy and shop local rather than, again, going on Amazon, which so many people are doing. You know, it's up to us to be supporting our small businesses. On women and minority-owned businesses, and I'm a former woman-owned small business, you know, it's so important that we support MWBEs. I introduced a piece of legislation just last week that would have the Small Business Services Agency letter grade each city agency on their MWBE performance, because we've seen that in recent years, only 4% of these city contracts have gone to MWBEs. That's not enough by any stretch of the means. That's unacceptable. We have to up those numbers. And so by having a transparent, accountable way where city agencies, you know, we show, look, this is what they're contracting, and they're actually letter graded by SBS. That's one way that we can create more accountability for city agencies.
That's a good reason. And it's a good program. Tell our listeners about MWBE, what it means, how it got established, because some of them may not understand.
Yes. So MWBE stands for Minority and Women-Owned Businesses. It's basically a small business that is either owned by a woman or a minority. A minority is defined in the law. So basically what this means, if you are one of these businesses, you can get city contracts if you register with the city of New York. Right now, approximately 11,000 businesses are registered as an MWBE. So if you're listening to this and you own a small business and you want to register as an MWBE, please go on to the Small Business Services Agency website, and you will see all sorts of information about how to register for an MWBE, and that opens up city contracts. So for example, if you're a caterer or you're a printer or a graphic design firm, you know, there are hundreds of different city contracts that the city of New York, you know, every day is putting out there. And so if you own one of these small businesses, you want to open up this economic opportunity, and we want to open it up for you.
Now, you have experience with hospital pricing, and you use several labor unions to support the fight for fair hospital pricing. Can you set forth resolution for New York State legislators to pass the HEAL Act?
Yes, Greg, this is so important. So I have in my district several hospitals, including New York Presbyterian. And so I've been working with 32BJ and DC37 and the UFT and the other labor unions that are part of this affordable hospital coalition. This is such an important issue because basically the city of New York and these unions are being overcharged for hospital prices. And I'll give you very specific examples. Many of these hospitals are charging up to 300% of the Medicare rate for various procedures. If you're a woman and you're giving childbirth in a hospital in New York City, you may be charged anywhere from $15,000 for childbirth to $55,000. This is outrageous. And the city of New York is spending so much on these hospital prices without getting the accountability and transparency that we deserve. So I introduced a resolution last month urging Albany to pass the HEAL Act, which provides more accountability and transparency around hospital pricing. I've been working really closely with the labor unions on this. This is very important. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to work on these issues.
Now, for the average New Yorker, they said, why is this important? I mean, you explain budget, explain
sure
how it goes into New York, and it's less money for education and other programs that New York needs.
Well, estimates, studies have been done about the amount that New York City is spending on, you know, hospital care for public sector employees, and estimates have shown that we may be spending an extra $2 billion on these bloated hospital prices. And so recently we did a rally with the labor unions on this saying, well, $2 billion, we could be using this $2 billion for affordable housing. We could be using it for public education. We have so many urgent needs in the city of New York. And so to be overspending on this is a, you know, a huge issue. And so I've been working with the labor unions on, you know, creative strategies to try to get these hospital prices down and to urge the city of New York to address this once and for all, because there is a fix here. You know, the city of New York can use its incredible purchasing power and join forces with organized labor to get the hospitals to lower these prices. So that's really been the focus of my efforts on this. I'm a former regulatory attorney, so this is something that, you know, I have some experience in, and I really want to be able to make sure that we are doing this and lowering these prices, and it will make an enormous difference.
Wow. So how are you progressing with that? Do you see any end in sight? Do you see a beginning? Do you see?
I do see some end in sight, because first of all, we have a lot of co-sponsors on this resolution I have to urge Albany to pass the HEAL Act. We want to be able to put pressure on Albany and create real momentum for the passage of that act. And also I'm looking at other city legislative solutions to try to address some of these hospital issues. So working with organized labor on that as well. And then also urging the mayor to work on this. I've had, you know, several conversations with him about this. Like, we need to make sure that the city is using its incredible purchasing power combined with labor's purchasing power and get united on this, because I think together, the combination of organized labor and the city of New York, we can once and for all address this issue and make sure that these hospitals and these hospital CEOs are listening and are bringing these prices down, because no one should be charged these outrageous prices for healthcare, and healthcare should be affordable, you know, for all New Yorkers.
Thank you. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have for this segment, this edition of Reaching Out. Councilwoman Julie Menin, we're going to ask you, every time you come back, you have a different title, a different job function, but hopefully we'll get you back while you're still here as a councilwoman, and you could tell us what your next endeavor is, what your next project is, because you're always, always doing something for the community. Thank you for being a champion of New York City. Thank you. You are truly one of New York City's gems, and you have always been that way from the first day I met you, and you have accomplished in your short period of time are just invaluable to New Yorkers.
Greg, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for everything that you're doing for this city. I love working with you. We've had a long relationship for many, many years, and it's great to be back on the show. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. This does it for this edition of Reaching Out. Our very special guest was Councilwoman Julie Menin. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.